The Morning Drive podcast from Double T 97.3 is presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
I'm Mike Hebert, owner of Cantex Roofing and Construction. Every day is game day, and we'll get it right when it comes to your roofing, construction, windows, and mirrors. Call Cantex Roofing and Construction today. Together, we are one serving you.
Yates Flooring Center chat line. This is sarcasm. At least Tony Pollard didn't get beat up a lot in the playoffs. Extends his career. Jerry Jones doing Jerry Jones things. Okay, I have some baseball tickets. We'll give those away this morning. So we have some for tonight. Couple of pairs. So we'll give some of those away this morning at some point in time. Also coming up this morning at about 7:50, in the spirit of our Double T 97.3 regional spelling bee presented by Optimum, I will spell a word that Jamie will present to me. The Los Angeles Lakers, whomever did the Kobe Bryant statue, not a speller, Jamie.
Uh-oh.
Apparently, the new Kobe Bryant statue has multiple typos, and the Lakers are working to correct the mistakes. Last month, they unveiled the Kobe Bryant statue. Statue is filled with symbolisms and nods to Kobe's career. For example, he's standing on a triangle representing Phil Jackson in the triangle offense. It's also filled with typos. Jose Calderon's name is spelled Jose Calderson. Von Wafer's name is spelled Vom Wafer. And the term DNP, coach's decision, is DNP, coach's decision, DECICION, not SION. I literally do not know how that can possibly happen when you are creating a statue for anybody, how you could not double check, triple check, quadruple check, especially when you're going to put something of that magnitude outside of a arena, is a nod to one of your greatest players.
Well, it seems like there were multiple people involved in checking the spelling on things like that or whatever.
Yes.
Looking that over.
Yes. I mean, it seems like that's basic editing there, right?
Yeah, people with knowledge of what Von Wafer's name would be.
Yes. As opposed to Vom, V-O-M. I mean, and Jose Calderon's. So, I mean, at any rate, I don't know how
sounds
you fix
some
it.
Of the mistakes like we would make on this show.
Right. I mean, you know, we're not in the NBA, you know. But we try to do the best we can, you know.
We sure do.
Not always accurate, not always fair. Just try to be entertaining. 6:35 this morning here on the Morning Drive. All right, gave you an update on Tony Pollard. He gone. He's going to the Tennessee Titans. I don't know if Derrick Henry is a... I don't know if he's worn out yet. He may be done. He may be on tired legs, and you know the they may have decided that you know Tennessee is like, no, he's worn out. Here's an update from Texas Rangers general manager Chris Young on Jordan Montgomery. He says this: it's less likely Monty will be back for the 2024 season. That was an interview that he did yesterday. So that's too bad. He said he would love to have him back, but that it's less likely. The Rangers apparently are content with their roster as they get ready for the start of the season with the Chicago Cubs.
Content. That doesn't sound like a great word.
That's from the article. I'm not quoting Chris Young specifically on that, but the article says the Rangers seem content with their roster.
Well, I think that's a fair statement because they'd love to have him back, which means it's not a perfect roster.
Mm-hmm.
But they're content with what it is currently. I mean, if given all possible things, they'd love to have him on the roster.
Apparently, Montgomery would love to, quote, play in a small market like Texas or St. Louis. I wouldn't necessarily describe Arlington as a small market, right?
I wouldn't either.
And St. Louis is smaller than Arlington, but, you know, it's obviously a historic baseball, you know, there's a lot of lot of history there. So we'll see.
And those are two places he's played already.
Yeah, he's got familiarity with. And then the Red Sox apparently still remain a team to acquire him. It just seems, and apparently their newly signed right-hander, Lucas Giolito, has now a partially torn UCL and a flexor strain. So that seems like he's going to be on the shelf for a little bit.
Sure.
You know. Could the Yankees be in the mood to sign a Jordan Montgomery?
Well, let's see how bad this elbow injury is to their ace.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that wasn't good news yesterday for the Yankees.
Oh, we'll see what it comes of it.
Yeah. Just feel like anytime you're sending somebody a pitcher to get an MRI because they're not bouncing back, Gerrit Cole, feels like that's the next step is, he's going to have surgery going for the year.
Yeah, I think you're jumping the gun there a little bit. Probably. Think that happens way more than you know.
And okay.
You just hear about the ones where the guy is out.
Yeah.
I think a lot of times it's, everything's fine. He just needs more rest.
Needs a little rest.
I also think he's just not a rookie anymore either.
Yeah. And you don't think, I mean, like he's saying, I don't really have pain. It's just a little bit stiffer, longer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So,
I mean, Verlander's going to probably miss the beginning of the season as he's just, not a spring chicken anymore.
Yeah.
Well, it's still spring.
Yeah. So,
it is.
Let Cole, take an extra month, whatever. That's fine.
It is pretty puzzling, though, that given the amount of money that's being, kind of tossed around for, Major League Baseball specifically, and then even, and the NFL has no bearing on this, but it just seems like for a guy that performed like Jordan Montgomery did, for him to still be sitting somewhere, not on a team on March the 12th seems puzzling to me.
It does seem really odd, no doubt.
Mm-hmm. You think with all the money that's kind of thrown around, that you'd be able to figure out a way to get him.
I think part of that is also that Jordan Montgomery had a really good run there. That's not necessarily who he's been his entire career. He's not been a dominant pitcher or whatever. Otherwise, the Yankees and the Cardinals wouldn't have traded him.
Yeah.
I mean, he's been solid. He hasn't been
That's a good point. He kind of captured some lightning in a bottle there.
Sure.
Yeah. And so you're sometimes a little leery of those guys because they've been bitten by that before where they've signed somebody, teams have, and then all of a sudden they go back to being who they were.
Mm-hmm.
They wake up, you're not who we thought you were. Yeah, well, I'm back to who I really am.
This is the Morning Drive Podcast from Double T 97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
It's the 12th, 2024. Here is Jeff McGuire.
Gonna warn you? Ending on a dark cloud. Just warning you ahead of time.
That's what we love to
dark
do.
Dark cloud coming.
Dark cloud coming.
Wow. Me being your weatherman, storm on the horizon. Okay?
Wow. Okay.
1962, however.
I set off at that point, so I don't have to hear it.
Bobby Gindorf, I think, gets a keyboard and scores 20 as Texas Tech beats Air Force 68-66 in Dallas. For a Midwest regional spot.
Not a full laptop, just a keyboard?
Well, yes. 1966. Chicago Blackhawks' Bobby Hull's 51st goal of the season sets a then NHL record. 1985, Larry Bird scores the Boston. Take two. 1985. Larry Bird scores Boston Celtics record 60 points in a single game. I can't believe their record was that low for them. As many prolific scorers as they've had over the years.
They were sharers of the ball, Jeff.
1995, 36th SEC men's basketball tournament took place. Kentucky beats Arkansas 95-93 in overtime. 2005, 26th Big East men's basketball tournament. Syracuse beats West Virginia 68-59.
Let's go, Cuse.
2017, the number 6 Texas Tech baseball team puts up 8 runs and 9 hits to secure an 8-4 victory over UTSA to close out the series win. Sophomore right-hander Ryan Shetter improved to 2-0 in 2017 after tossing 5 2/3 innings for his fourth straight quality start.
That's a great day.
Mm-hmm. 2020. The 2020 NCAA men's basketball tournament is canceled over concerns of the spread of COVID-19. First time March Madness, not held since it began in 1939. Women's tournament was also canceled, and it also marked the end of the Texas Tech athletic season.
Everybody's season ended.
Well, yeah, but I don't care if Texas had to end their season.
Shut down, right?
It is National Milky Way Day.
Okay, I'm not a fan of the Milky Way.
I am not either.
Oh, that surprises me.
I don't know what's going on in there with that white stuff.
I'm not a fan of that.
You thinking of the Three Musketeers?
You're thinking of the Three Musketeers.
No, I'm thinking of both of them.
I love the Three Musketeers.
Yeah, I don't like what's going on there in the Milky Way. No, you're right. It's not white though. It's brown. Yeah.
I would have thought that you would have loved the caramel and the little bit of the nut in there with the Milky Way.
Happy birthday to Eliza Minnelli, who said 78. Mitch Romney, 77. Daryl Strawberry, 62. Dale Murphy, 68. And James Taylor is 76.
Here comes the dark cloud.
No, the dark cloud was COVID-19 ending seasons.
Oh, okay.
No. That was the dark cloud.
Okay.
That's a Red Raider baseball team that was top three in the country at that point.
No, I got you. You said it was at the end. That's why I was waiting.
Oh, yeah, it was the end of the sports stuff.
Okay.
1947. In a dramatic speech in a joint session of Congress, President Harry S. Truman asked for the U.S. assistance for Greece and Turkey to forestall communist domination of the two nations. Historians have often cited Truman's address, which would be later known as the Truman Doctrine, as the official declaration of the Cold War. Truman addressed outlined the broad parameters of the U.S. Cold War foreign policy. Soviet Union was the center of all communist activities and movements throughout the world. Communism could attack throughout outside invasion or internal subversion, and the United States needed to provide military and economic assistance to protect nations from communist aggression. And that is this day in sports history.
He should have just said, I'm going to drop the bomb on you, not drop the bomb on me.
Fun fact, didn't have a third one. We dropped the two we had on Japan.
Okay.
We were building more. Okay. But that's why we didn't just drop one on Russia right then.
Fun fact.
Super fun.
Fun fact. That is this day in sports history. Okay, fun fact. 6:51 this morning here on the Morning Drive on Lubbock Sports Station, Double T 97.3 and Double T 97.3.com. We'll have Red Raider Baseball on the air for you tonight at 6. They take on New Mexico State. Balls and Strikes at 6:30. We'll also have some basketball for you this evening on 100.7 The Score as we're getting ready for Selection Sunday, which will be Sunday. Big 12 tournament begins today on the men's side. The women's side, it concludes today with Iowa State and Texas playing for the automatic bid. Both those teams will be in the NCAA tournament. The CAA?
Yes.
Okay. The CAA will feature Charleston and Stony Brook in the championship game. We'll have that for you at 5:45. Charleston, a winner over Towson last night. Stony Brook beat Hofstra last night. Okay. And then we'll have the West Coast Conference Championship to follow that. And that will feature Gonzaga against St. Mary's. Gonzaga beat San Francisco last night, 89-77. St. Mary's was a winner over Santa Clara, 79-65. I'm rooting for St. Mary's in this game. I just don't like Gonzaga.
Okay.
And the other thing, too, is I'm going to guess the West Coast Conference tournament will get two bids at least. The West Coast Conference will get two bids. So I'm going to guess both those teams are in, so no potential bid stealer tonight. I'm really hoping for eight teams in the Big 12. That might seem a little petty, but that's kind of what I'm hoping for. I think that
your eight runs deep, Chuck. Your eight runs deep. I'm rooting for nine.
You're rooting for nine? Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm thinking Oklahoma's not going to get in when it's all said and done. I just don't think if you have a sub 500 record in the Big 12 that warrants a bid in the NCAA tournament.
8-10 in the best conference in the country?
Yeah.
Still feels like a pretty good team.
Your daily dose of sports and fun. This is the Morning Drive Podcast from Double T 97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
Jamie Linton, Jeff McGuire, I'm Chuck Hines, 7:15. The Double T 97.3 mobile app presented by Happy State Bank is open. We get this. I tell my kids all the time, you learn more from losing than winning. Losing makes you reevaluate yourself. That's a...
I think you're more honest with yourself in those situations. When everything's going great, you're able to just say, hey, all that matters is I won. Mm-hmm. It doesn't really matter, you know, if you won, but you played a lesser opponent or whatever. So, no, I think that's fair.
That's somewhat deep, though. I mean, that's deep into the pool.
Okay.
I think. I mean, that's deep stuff there.
This is a good place to be on spring break.
Oh, shallow and it's pretty comfortable. Is there, we've talked about, a couple of pitchers that you'd like to see, at least, what you'd like to see from Zane Petty today. Is there some guys at the plate that you'd like to see kind of, have a kind of good day today and tomorrow to give them some extra confidence going into the Baylor series this weekend?
Yeah, I feel like Austin Green's a guy that's slowed down a little bit, so I'd like to see Austin get going. And, I you don't want to be too worrisome about one weekend or whatever. Owen Washburn was quiet this weekend, I think. But he's been really good so far this year. Maybe Tracer Lopez, we saw some good things from him this weekend, so you want to see him keep trending in the right direction. But really, I mean, nobody really jumps out at me.
Just that you kind of look and go, hey, that guy needs to face somebody that can kind of lob some balls and make him feel like, hey, Ted Williams or something like that?
No, I don't necessarily feel that way. If you're only getting hits off of those guys, then are you going to be able to get hits off of real Big 12 pitching? No, you just need guys to have good at-bats and, come away feeling good about those about themselves or feeling confident, whatever. It's not about, because I don't know that you do that if you're playing terrible competition.
Who do you think is the best hitter on the team?
Best hitter on the team.
Like the best at his craft.
I would say Kevin Bazell is the best hitter. Uses all fields, hits for power, hits for average, high on base percentage, doesn't chase a lot.
Just fouling pitches off to get the pitch that he wants.
At times, yep, does that.
I always think of, what's
Brian
our,
Klein.
Brian Klein, yeah. I always think about him, as a guy that would just wear pitchers out, it seemed like.
I would go to Gabe Holt.
Okay. Another guy that would just foul pitch after pitch after pitch after pitch. And some of those guys are pitching like 10, 12 pitches against those guys. And then it kind of sets up the next guy because the guy's worn out or you've seen a lot of the pitches. And, it kind of helps the rest of the lineup. Do we have any idea when Kevin Bazell's going to come back?
We know not this week. So... I think that was the hope that it would be after this week.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So he's kind of in the, it's a different type of situation than Warren Washington, but he's kind of the guy you go, okay, when when are we going to see him? His deal is an illness, not like a foot injury like Warren Washington. I heard you and Choice talking yesterday, and Choice believes that Warren Washington will play this week in the Big 12 tournament.
He does.
Yeah, I hope he's right. Mm-hmm. And then I was waiting for it, and you asked him because you asked me that too, about the playing back to back, back to back days, because once Tech starts playing, you win and you play the next day, you win and you play the next day,
that would definitely make me nervous.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, just because he hasn't played in back to back, games, and then
so there wouldn't be a day of rest or anything like that.
Right, not much time off your feet, all those kinds of things. But we haven't, at least I don't have any idea how much he has or hasn't been practicing. Is he going out there and practicing and then playing the next day, or are they giving him a day or two off between practices? Mm-hmm. I'm sure that there's probably been this gradual movement of, hey, we're going to play him a few minutes here, and then we're going to play him a few minutes here, and then play a few minutes here, and then hope that he's able to go in back to back days in practice.
I mean, the key thing here is to get him where he's not rusty, right, going into the NCAA tournament. Because mm-hmm. if he doesn't play until then, throw him out there in the first round. He may be just a shell of his former self, right?
Yeah.
You need him to be mobile, and you need him to move around and be active, which he always is when he's healthy. Mm-hmm. And so he's got to be more than just 7 feet tall.
Yeah,
got to be able to move around.
Right.
Otherwise, you can send him out there with a boot on.
I mean, that's kind of contradictory to the comment we made yesterday where, hey, this is Warren Washington. He's 7 feet tall. I know you guys haven't played much together, but throw down the ball to him. He'll put it in the hoop for us.
Send him out there with a boot and just let him, kind of play one end of the court, right?
Yeah, there you go.
I don't think they'd probably let you do that. Just play with a boot on. Probably there's some kind of rule.
There probably is, yeah.
But then there'd be all kinds of people that would be like, well, he's not, his boot color doesn't match his shoe color. So then there'd be some kind of outrage about that as well. 7:21 this morning here on the morning drive.
I think some kind you mean by me.
Well, I'm with you on that. I'm it's not just you. I mean, I've joined your, whether you want me to be a part of your tribe or not on that, I've kind of joined your your circle on that. I wish you'd wear the team colors. I wish they'd match, I don't mind the occasional, color to kind of match the throwback, or the pink shoes or things like that. But, blue with, red or gray or black when your colors are red and black. I don't know. I'm just not a fan. And the green. I mean, it does. I find it somewhat irritating. But that, that's just being, I guess.
I mean, it old. Makes us old.
It does. It does.
It
makes
does.
Us, makes yeah. us makes us old. I thought this was kind of just, this is a little random for you, but this is kind of a random show. I thought this was odd, really odd. Purdue, on senior day, decided to retire the jersey of Zach Edey. His number 15 is going to hang in the rafters. I don't know if anybody will ever wear it again, because sometimes it's hard to do that. But Purdue coach Matt Painter made the reveals the players went through senior day festivities. He's got nothing to look forward to now. I mean, usually they do that, a number of years after you've, left the university, and you come back and, hey, we're going to put his jersey in the rafters or things like that. What happens a lot when guys get their jersey retired is obviously they're great players. They're playing in the NBA or overseas, and it's really hard for a long time to get them to come back because they're busy. That's what Painter said at Mackey Arena. I think if anybody deserves this as our school's all-time leading rebounder and 41 points away from being our all-time leading scorer, Zach Edey does. Purdue does not retire jersey numbers, but every All-American player at the school gets their jersey hung up in the rafters. Edey is the first one to have his hung while his college career is still active. Okay, so that answers that question. That makes sense.
Okay.
Okay. You could be more than one person to have your jersey hung in the rafters if as long as you're an All-American. I, again, don't think Purdue will make it past the Sweet 16. I know a lot of people think, including Rick Pitino, that Purdue's going to win the national championship. I think they'll come short up again because that's their history. That's what Purdue does. They come up short, no matter who the coach is, no matter who the players are. That is what they do, come up short.
This is the Morning Drive Podcast from Double T 97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction. Time now for Jamie's question of the day on Lubbock Sports Station, Double T 97.3.
I must say that you mentioned the Big 12 basketball tournament there. There's a part of me, I mean, obviously we want the double bye, and that's great. Mm-hmm. But there's a part of me that's jealous of these teams that get to play today. I want to watch our team play, right? No, they're fun to watch, and we're playing well. And let's get after it.
I understand that, but I'm sure if you're kind of...
No, I totally understand.
On a parallel thought, I really like that we've got the double bye. I really hate that we're playing at 11:30 on Thursday.
Why?
It seems like we always play the early game in the Big 12 tournament.
And so why is that bad?
Because I'd like to play a night game.
Oh.
Or an afternoon game. Just not the first game.
I love daytime sports.
Right. Yeah. It doesn't have to be before breakfast sports.
11:30 tip-off is somehow before
It's spring
breakfast.
Break. One never knows when people are waking up.
Well, and here's the other thing, too, though, is that you at least get to kind of set your day. You know exactly what time you're going to play and what time you can take the court. Mm-hmm. You can take the court.
Easier for the coaches to set up the schedule and all that. Yeah. I know exactly.
Yep. What time you're going to leave to go to the arena and all that kind of stuff.
Best schedule. Yeah. To have, yep.
Because you know you can take the court an hour before tip. So that's the soonest that you can get on because somebody will be, like, I would assume that Texas and Iowa State will have a shoot around this morning. Maybe they won't. It'll be their decision. But the two teams playing at 11:30 won't be able to get on the court until 10:30 this morning.
Yep. I'm a fan of it. I like the schedule for the Red Raiders. I think it benefits them. Okay, so here's my question for you guys today. It's involving Red Raider basketball. It's a two-parter. I want you to tell me the biggest positive surprise and the biggest negative surprise with the 2023/2024 Red Raider basketball team.
Well, I think the biggest surprise is you won 11 ball games. I mean, in the Big 12. Because if you'd asked me on January the 1st, I may have said, well, no, if you'd asked me on December the 31st, because I really feel like that January 1st game was when it really started kind of coming together, at least what I saw. I would have said you're going to win 8 or 9 games, maybe tops in the Big 12. Maybe tops. And they won 11 games. So that would be my biggest biggest surprise, disappointment. I think the UCF home loss, or that was it Cincinnati. Cincinnati's who you played at home. Cincinnati home loss.
Yeah, lose to UCF.
Yeah, you played UCF just on the road, and you beat them here. But the Cincinnati home loss was my biggest disappointment. It kind of felt like you had it rolling.
Biggest surprise, absolutely how fast the turnaround was. It's not just the 11 wins. It's the complete mindset of this team, the attitude of this team, the play style, the completely shaking off of last year. Like it was a bad case of fleas. Like just every problem you had last year was erased in what feels like 15 minutes. And it was a season-long problem that you couldn't get fixed. And you solved it in 15 minutes, it feels like. That doesn't happen. Now, granted, you had a regime change, and that instigates that. But everybody bought in. Everybody moved forward with it. Everybody wanted to make it better and did. That doesn't happen in sports. That's phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
Biggest disappointment? What could have been with this team had you stayed healthy? Had you not lost your big man at the beginning of the year before Big 12 play started, how much would you got 11 wins? Could you have gotten 14? because Cambridge. You could have been rebounding better.
Yeah.
Like how good this team could have been if is the biggest disappointment.
Okay, you guys kind of twisted the second one where I was like, what was the biggest surprise that was disappointing, but not the biggest disappointment. But that's okay. You guys still gave us good answers. Okay. I would say the biggest surprise to me, and I think both of your answers were dead on, okay? I'll go a little bit different here, so I'm not saying the same thing. Like when this season started, I felt like you had one guy that was like a tough guy. Okay? That was like do it all, you know, tough guy. His name was Devin Cambridge. Right? And I think we had like a Space Jam thing happen. You remember in Space Jam when like the Monstars took the skills and the abilities of the NBA players, Patrick Ewing and Charles Barkley and all that? You've never seen Space Jam, right, Chuck?
I don't think so.
Oh, man.
I'm okay. There with you. Keep going,
okay.
Jamie.
They took the skills and the ability from these NBA players and they put them into the Monstars. I feel like Devin Cambridge went down and like he's like, I can't play here. Here is all of my toughness. Each and every one of you teammates, take my toughness. Take my grit. Take my fight. Take the battle that I bring to the table. And this team got tougher. And I like the beginning of the year, I didn't see them as a tough team. And as this team has gone along, both physically and mentally, I think that's what's been most impressive to me, besides just the fact that you're winning games and you finished with 11 wins, is that you've been a really tough team. And not always great rebounding-wise. We know that you're undersized and all the above. But I just think you've been a really tough team. And I'll give a lot of credit to... You know, I think Joe Toussaint's a really tough guy. I think Darion Williams has become a really tough guy. I just feel like they all said, hey, what Devin brings to the table, we got to be that way. And that's just been fun for me to watch. I like a team that's physical and all the above and mentally tough, able to bounce back. And, you know, they get over, you know, hey, we lost this guy, but we still keep fighting. And so obviously your head coach deserves credit for that as well. I guess the biggest surprise to me negatively, I cannot believe, because Pop Isaacs is such a great shooter. The shock of him going through the funk that he went through this year, shooting-wise, that was just really surprising to me because, I mean, the dude, you know when he's on, he is a great shooter. So that was really a surprise to me that he went through that stretch of struggles.
The Morning Drive podcast from Double T 97.3 is presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
If you weren't listening to The Morning Drive, here's what you missed.
The word is Kibitzer.
Kibitzer. Kibitzer. I feel like I'm quite the kibitzer, so I feel like I should know how to spell this word. Kibitzer. I believe Kibitzer is K-I-B... I-T-Z-E-R.
Let's go!
How about that, ladies and gentlemen? Instant replay. Good morning. It is 8:02 this morning here on the Morning Drive. Thank you for being with us with Jamie and Jeff. I'm Chuck. We come to you from the First United Bank studio, and I look forward to hearing from you on the Yates Flooring Center chat line. Go to DoubleT973.com. For that or the mobile app, Visual Edge IT Hotline is open, too, at 806-771-0973, okay? 806-771-0973. I've got some baseball tickets for tonight's game. Be prepared to call shortly. We'll do caller number 5, not now, but shortly. I'll tell you when. That way, I just want you to find your phone in your car, okay, or in your pocket or purse or wherever it is that you keep it. We'll get to it here in just a moment. Bobby Hot Dog says this, JL bloviate would make a good spelling word too. Completely random, of course. Of course, Bobby Hot Dogs. Completely.
Completely random.
Completely random. Yeah, we okay. Understand that.
I'll look into that one.
Big 12 basketball tournament begins today in Kansas City. The Red Raiders don't play until Thursday. So they'll go up there and... probably get some shots up and see what see what they can do, and kind of wait for their next opponent. I mean, could be one of three teams. Could be UCF, could be Oklahoma State, or could be BYU. Most likely, Jamie?
BYU.
I agree, but don't discount UCF.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Because they've had some big wins this year. Totally did not talk about this, and it's completely my fault because I didn't overlook it. I just didn't have it written down for today. But you talked about it in the boom, boom, boom. But the Red Raiders are now ranked 25th in the Associated Press poll and 23rd in the USA Today coaches poll. So they're back in the top 25. That's always good news. But you know, it's funny because you start focusing less now on things like that, and you focus more, at least I think the general public does, on the bracketology of where do you think we're going to go? What's the seed going to be? How are things going to proceed here with the Big 12 tournament? You know, what's the status of Warren Washington? All those things. Whereas in February, you're focused on, in January, it seems like you're focused on, how come we're not in the top 25? How come we're ranked higher? Now you kind of just go, okay, I'm not really worried as much about that as I am what the seeding's going to be for the tournament.
Yeah, I'm always a standings guy. I'm always more worried about standings than I am rankings.
Standings in the conference? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I think especially with basketball, maybe it's a little bit different in baseball where you're always constantly worried about the RPI because the possibility of hosting regionals and all that good stuff. But I think I'm more of a standings guy than anything else.
Yeah.
Than a rankings guy.
Yeah. I don't know. I kind of look at this too as just from the standpoint of, you know, on basketball, you'll hear a lot of people talking about the net ranking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you
sure.
know, and sure. Once you get into, I guess I look at it this way from basketball. Once you get into the conference, you can talk about the net ranking all that you want, but if you're not winning games, if you're not winning more games than you're losing, then the net ranking doesn't really necessarily mean it.
Yeah,
anything.
No, but that's absolutely important. And people ask, well, why is Kansas or why is BYU, why are they, you know, potentially higher seeds than you mm-hmm. in the NCAA tournament? It's because they're partly because their net ranking is higher because they played tougher non-conference schedules.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you know, you kind of look at what you did in December or November, and you know, against those teams, In Texas Tech's case, because you had a new coach and because you had a bunch of new players, man, you're still trying to find yourself. I mean, how many times did, at least I felt like, I went to a number of games in the non-conference where you struggled in the first half. You struggled to put a team away until the late stages of the game. But, you know, and just to kind of give you a sample of Kansas's non-conference, They played Kentucky, they played Marquette, they played Tennessee. That was the Big East, Big 12 challenge, I believe. I believe that's who they played there. They played UConn, they played Missouri. Although that game was at Allen Fieldhouse, they played Indiana. They played Wichita State. That game was, I think that game was. In Kansas City. I'm not certain on that. But anyway, those are all quality teams. I mean, obviously, when you play Marquette and you play UConn or Kentucky and you play UConn, and then you play your bitter rival in Missouri, no matter what the records are. And I realize, you know, Missouri didn't win any SEC games, which is crazy.
Not a single one?
Not a single one.
Yikes.
Not a single one. If they win one in the postseason tournament, that'll be their first one. Of the season, so that's a sample of what you know you kind of look at from Kansas's standpoint in terms of maybe why they're a three seed, but they're certainly not playing like a three seed right now.
No,
and
not at all.
And then you wonder, they're not going to have Kevin McCullough and they're not going to have Hunter Dickinson for the Big 12 tournament, and you wonder, okay, so how does that affect their seeding? You know, because they're not playing. You know, they say Dickinson's going to be healthy for the Big 12 tournament, for the NCAA tournament. He dislocated his shoulder against Houston, and McCullough's been dealing with a bruised knee bone for a number of weeks now. But you would have to think that that will come into play with the NCAA selection committee.
Surely it will.
You know, to a degree. Does that keep you from being a three seed? I don't know.
I always remember back to the year that Cincinnati was the overall number one forever and ever and ever.
Yes.
Then Kenyon Martin broke his leg in the conference tournament, and they weren't a number one seed, were they?
No.
Yeah.
No.
Because they knew, despite the fact that their resume showed that they were one of the best teams in college basketball, they knew they weren't any longer without their star player.
And that's always the reference point.
Yeah.
That's always the reference point. Mm-hmm. All right, caller number five right now gets your choice. You can have two or four baseball tickets for tonight's game. So if you need four, you can have four. If you just need two, you take two. You just got to use them. Call us now at 806-771-0973. That's 806-771-0973 on the Visual Edge IT Hotline.
This has been the Morning Drive Podcast, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction. Check out our library of Double T 97.3 podcasts at DoubleT 97.3.com.